Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Toffee Web Podcast.
Hello, Blues. Welcome to the Toffee Web Podcast, where we prepare to strap ourselves back into the roller coaster that is the 2023-24 season. It resumes this weekend following a welcome 3-week hiatus, which maybe the fans have needed more than the players to recharge their batteries. Everton travel to Bournemouth on Saturday, looking to end this painful winless run that stretches all the way back to mid-December. We'll get the chance to see whether this warm weather trip to Portugal and the benefit of those 3 weeks off have improved things on the pitch. I'm here with Andy, Paul and Adam. Adam, seeing as you missed out on the last pod, I'll start with you. Describe your mental state as we go once more onto the breach.
Yeah, it has been nice to have that break. Probably not as nice as going to Portugal this time of year, but I do feel as though Saturday has the potential to feel a little bit like a Sean Dyche slap to the bonds as I kind of go back to all things Everton. It's been really quite pleasant, actually. Like on a personal level, I've had a nice couple of weeks, but I don't know how much of that is down to a lack of all things Everton. Seeing Jordan Pickford getting lambasted in the press kind of brought back a sort of feeling of pride and a sense of wanting to defend, and with Saturday coming close, there's a bit of excitement, but there's also a lot of nerves. And suddenly I'm starting to feel a little bit more washy in my stomach. So maybe I don't need Everton in my life. Maybe things are a bit nicer. Maybe I kind of walk a little taller and have a bit of a nicer atmosphere around my home. But I'm excited to see, as you say, what that change has done with the players, because we are blessed with not too many players going on international duty. Obviously, Braithwaite's gone out with England for the first time. Pickford, as we mentioned, Onana played last night as well. Coleman starting tonight. That's interesting. That's certainly something to talk about ahead of Bournemouth. But I think the proof will be in how beneficial that trip has been, both for morale, more importantly, I think, for fitness for this big run of games that we've got, where everyone feels really important, doesn't it? So, yeah, like I say, a bit washy in my stomach, but also excited to get back into the normality of all things Everton on a weekend. How about you guys?
Yeah. Andy, Paul, you and I talked on the last pod about potential changes we'd like to see in the team that maybe Sean Dyche takes in terms of personnel and approach. Anything changed for you on balance based on what you've seen on the international break, thought about, ruminated on?
Just one thing I'm flabbergasted by was that Seamus Coleman's gone and played twice in 4 days, and we've struggled with Ben Godfrey in the team, and I think nearly everyone has said, haven't they? Like, oh God, you know, make a change here. You know, get something more attacking on. And I think the common, I guess, misconception now from some of the comments which Seamus has said is that he's been injured, hasn't been quite ready, hasn't been fit enough to play. But he's just gone and played two full 90 minutes for Ireland in the space of a few days, and then come afterwards say, no, I've been fit, I've been fine. So why on earth he hasn't been in the team? I'm very frustrated by that. If that, you know, you have to take that on face value. So and it's just starting to feel a little bit like, I guess we'll see what team lines up on Saturday, won't we? And yeah, it's starting to feel a little bit like that sort of, you know, like Michael Keane's stubbornness towards the end of last season. So it finally became a little bit, you know, almost a little too late, and you had to change him. And I don't know where this, like, throwing Ben Godfrey into the team and then resolutely sticking with him in the team has come from. I'm surprised by that. And just having Seamus Coleman going to play two games, and I didn't see every game, but from what I understand, they did pretty well. Just shocked me, really. So I really hope that that could go either way. You might look at it as Seamus, well, I don't know, can he handle three games in just over the week? Or will he see that as like, yep, he's fit enough to get into the team and play? So I really hope it's the latter, because that's a change I'd really like to see teammates. That's probably the one glaring observation of the international break that I've concluded with. There's no real reason for Seamus to not be playing. And that's hopefully that's the case.
I'm with you on that. Oh, hasn't it been terrific these 3 weeks? Just round that off now just by saying it's been a lovely time. I've had headspace. I've concentrated on other things. I've been happy. I've been so happy. Just blissful, isn't it? I'm with Paul. I don't quite know what the scenario is with Seamus. I can't see a reason why he wouldn't be in our team if he's fit. Just because... Well, Sean Dyche tends to pick players he trusts, and you would imagine Seamus Coleman was well in that bracket, wouldn't you? Yeah, strange one that. But maybe they were kind of, I don't know, waiting for the two Ireland games in a short space of time to see how he reacted to that, and then see how that affects his input for the rest of the season. I'm where I was on the team, really. I would like to see Calvert-Lewin back in from the start. I'd like to see the two wide men refreshed and actually with some ideas and some energy. I think the middle two hopefully will be Onana and Garner with the Decore in front of them.
Which Garner?
Garner Gay.
Thank you.
And the rest of the team picks itself, I think. That's how I'd like to kind of hit the refresh button, hit reset, and hopefully there's enough there. I mean, you also think about how the international break or the gap in fixtures is affecting everybody else. I mean, I imagine Nottingham Forest are going to be in a different psychological position than they were when they last played, because they've lost points. Therefore, Luton's mentality might change as well, because their position has been altered. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see exactly how that little break and those movement of points does affect teams. Because I still think, you know, we've had one of the biggest disadvantages of the whole season in playing with minus 10 for as long as we did. And let's see how it affects others now when they start to move around. But no, I'm as you were, enjoying the bliss and hoping that our best 11 comes together on Saturday. I'm beginning to feel slightly nervous about that game, because as all Bournemouth games seem to with us, it just feels like a little bit knife edge if we were to go and beat Bournemouth and play quite well, I think we could all go, oh, okay, the break was good. Hey, fantastic. You know, looking upwards, or, you know, at least mitigating the fact we might lose more points. If we draw and play well, okay. If we scrape something and draw, okay. If we lose it, I don't know. It feels a little bit... It feels like the difference between that win and that defeat on this particular weekend would feel really big.
I think it would, because maybe there is this kind of expectation that we've all thought, okay, you've had a break, you've gone away and presumably worked on something, maybe, you know, maybe moving the ball around, passing drills, perhaps attacking drills, you know, shooting drills, maybe. And, you know, maybe there's just a feeling that they've had a slump and then now they can get out of it. If we go straight back in with a defeat, I mean, that's going to feel a bit flat, isn't it? Even with those home games, and as we talked on the last pod, home games mean nothing to Everton. You know, if anything, it's more pressure, you know, more anxiety. So, yeah, get a win at Bournemouth. And I think, as we said on the last one, it just makes such a big difference. But you said there, Andy, you know, hopefully our best 11. I mean, that best 11, based on what we're talking about with the fullbacks in particular, it doesn't seem to be much consensus between Deitch and the fans and maybe even some of the players. I mean, Seamus saying on international duty that he's not going to throw his toys out the pram. There is a subtext there that he's not exactly happy that he's not playing. And what that reason is, you know, I think we kind of speculated on the last one, didn't we, that it's the kind of Moisean thing where if I can shove another centre back in there, I'll shove another centre back in there, which is fine as long as it works. But if we're conceding goals, which we have been of late since Godfrey's been in the team, I'm not saying he's directly responsible for it, although obviously one of the penalties against United was, you know, his lack of height against Brighton and West Ham, you know, again, as we said last week, perhaps. So if he's not making that much of a big of a difference as a defender, then why have him in there at the expense of having no one down that right side who can actually attack? So I'd like to, if Seamus is fit, and of course we've got this situation where when we get back, we've got three games in the space of a week. Seamus is not going to be able to play all those games, but I'd like to see him at least start one so we can see, you know, have him back in there and just see how the team reacts with a proper attacking presence down the right flank. By all accounts, Danjuma is getting back to fitness. Idrissa Gueye is on his way too. So I think Deitch is obviously going to have most of the players fit and can pick a team accordingly that can hopefully win some matches.
I mean, the argument with Deitch and Mapasta has been the players need to be Deitch fit, but if he's fit enough, but Coleman, that is, if he's fit enough to play two games of international football, right, you presume that meets that high standard. And likewise, Patterson, although I haven't seen it, but I believe he was at fault for one of the goals Scotland conceded the other day. But again, you've got another fullback option, an actual fullback, not a square peg in a round hole, who's playing international football at the weekend. It does seem like a very strange blind spot that he's got himself into. But I think you're right in that if you went around this pod, maybe most of us might kind of lean more towards, if Coleman's fit, that's what we go for. Would we also take a chance on Patterson? But then you could ask someone else in the pub and they'd say, oh, do you know what, probably Ashley Young actually, or do you know what, Ben Godfrey hasn't been that bad, he's athletic at least. I think it's a tricky part of the pitch, and I think the bigger issue is, you mentioned it with the attacking wide players, and it affects how we play on that right hand side as well. That's the bigger worry for me. But again, hopefully that's what has been worked on in Portugal, beyond slapping at least one of those right backs.
You feel like Seamus like ups the standards though, doesn't he, around him as well? You feel like when he plays, that's a big factor too, his leadership, and it's good output on the pitch. But I don't think I'm alone, and I don't think it's controversial in saying that Ben Godfrey seems the least suited of the four at right back. I don't think that's really, you know, too outlandish a thing to say. It just seems that it's very peculiar that, you know, it's not like, oh, we're sticking Ben's there because there's no one else available, or because, oh, Patterson's out of form, so he has to play. there's four options. You know, it's ridiculous, really. And the man, we went on about it a few weeks ago, didn't we? And the Man United, that last half hour of the Man United game, I thought, why won't you change that position? That's offering us nothing to get back into this game. And we're two down. I was so, I just couldn't understand that. So hopefully it's a blind spot which he's seen enough of to fix over, you know, the last few weeks. And fingers crossed that whatever decision they make works going into the Bournemouth game. I'm backing us at Bournemouth. I feel it's gone. We haven't won there yet in the Premier League. I feel that's a record which needs fixing. There's been two very close. You know, we've snatched draws from victories, haven't we? There, one particularly memorable one. So I feel like most times we go to Bournemouth, last season aside, I don't feel we played too badly, really. Just haven't really come out on the right side of it at any point. I thought, you know, last season was, in both games, an abomination. It's an opportunity to put that right, I guess. Feels like quite a good time to play them, you would think. I guess they've had a bit of a rest too, but really they shouldn't really have a lot to play for now. They're shipping a lot of goals. You know, it just feels like could be a chance to catch them a little bit cold. I hope Mikhailenko's pulled through. He's had two tough games and, you know, two qualifiers, and well done for Ukraine getting through. I hope that he's pulled through them two games okay. We might see Ben Godfrey at left back then. Maybe that'll resolve the issue on the right.
Take with one hand.
I'm pretty hopeful that we can. And I think as well, like a defeat could be damaging, because bear in mind, although it feels a lifetime ago, that would be three defeats on the spin. And that's never good, obviously. So we're going back a long way, obviously, there. But we really need to get that win. It's so long since we have won a game. We need to win a game at Bournemouth, because we haven't done that yet in the Premier League. A lot of things we've got to put right. And I think we've got a good chance to do that on Saturday.
I'm just looking at Bournemouth's last two games. And they've gone 2-0 down at home to Sheffield United and 3-0 down at home to Luton. I mean, this is a team that concedes goals. And not particularly to great sides. I mean, if the same happened again, or a similar happened again, you know, I know it's slipped a bit recently, but we defend far better than either of those sides do. So, you know, if there is a chance to get at them and to get the opening goal and maybe the next one, then I can't, well, touch wood, here we go. But I can't see us doing something similar. And you can obviously score goals against Bournemouth, you know, that's clear, whoever you are. Here's hoping. I just, like Lyndon was saying, you just hope that at some point in Portugal or wherever else they've been, you know, that we have some kind of combinations that work going forward with the ball, because, you know, that's where the break, that's where this, apart from the fitness and the kind of refreshing everything, watching them for the last however many Premier League games that we haven't got a win in, that was, you know, almost like a godsend 3 weeks of time to work on things, you know, and that's where you hope it's gone okay, guys, how are we scoring a goal? How do we score goals? What patterns are we making? Because that's what we haven't seen. Where sometimes 3 weeks is a 3 week break is a nightmare, or it comes at just the wrong time, and maybe you've hit a bit of form or whatever. That cannot be said about Everton. This 3 week break was right where we wanted it, and you just hope that they've made the most of it, because if they haven't, and they come back and it looks a bit like it did before, and it's all a bit laboured, and we're trying to draw our way to safety, that's then their fault. You know, that's nobody else's fault. That's, you know, that's not the commission's fault. That's not X, Y, and Z's fault. That's not Luton's fault for scoring. That is Everton's fault. You know, and they have got enough players there to come up with a plan to win Premier League games. We've seen it. They've done it already this season. So I think it feels like if we're feeling a little bit of kind of pressure or anxiety going back into it, I reckon they will be a little bit as well, or certainly Dyche might be, because, you know, the pressure is now on to sort this season out, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. And then, you know, the good thing is that we are away from home. And
yeah.
Since, obviously, that last win, obviously was at Burnley. And we can kind of discard the Manchester City away because that's, I mean, you know, that was, we're onto a hiding to nothing in that game. Obviously, the Wolves match was one of two, I think, that Deitch has highlighted as where things just went completely off the rails. But other than that, Spurs away, we unquestionably deserve something from that game. The Palace Cup tie, we kind of ground that one out. Fulham almost could have won, you know, better with a better header at the end, and we win that one. And then obviously Brighton away, we should have won that one too. And you know, United was a bit of a damn squib, but in the main, we're set up to play better away from home. So that, I think that's where my main optimism comes from for this weekend, is that we are better suited playing away from home. And as you've been saying, Paul, just something's got to break up front, some luck, you know, either luck or it's just going to all come together suddenly and we're going to score a few goals. And as I say, I'm almost willing it, you know, if we can just get 3 points on Saturday, the whole outlook just changes, because I mean, at this stage of the season, you know, 3 points is massive. And you can get just 3 points on the board, not only psychologically, but just in terms of what it can do in the table, it's massive.
Absolutely.
Anyone got any predictions? Want a one-of-one adventure prediction?
Oh, no. I don't.
I think goals.
I'll save you for that.
I think there will be goals.
Yeah.
I can see Bournemouth certainly scoring. I can see us scoring, to be fair. I'm going to say, let's take the bull by the horns here. A 2-2 draw, which is one of those that we'll probably look at next week when we come together and we'll think, oh, if only this, oh, but if only that, and it could have gone either way. That's what I'm going to go for. A really stressful score draw.
Yeah, I'd concur with that. That's what I was going to say, a draw as well, as much as I'm willing a win.
I'm on the fence. I think, yeah, we're right to highlight Bournemouth's kind of fragile defence, and obviously we saw that in the home game at Goodison, didn't we, that they will try and play out from the back, and when our players are fit and firing, we can press teams like that and cause them problems. The flip side of that is that out of our three top scorers, two of them don't play for us, in Iwobi and Mopé, so we don't score enough goals. But I'm still going to, I'm going to go 3-1 Everton. I think this might, it won't be Brighton away, but I do feel, and I've got to say, part of this was your kind of roller coaster pod last time out, where it started very low, and I was listening to it in a little cottage in West Yorkshire, sort of looking at the moors, thinking, ah, maybe I don't need football in my life anymore. And then towards the end, I was really positive, and it. Which is hopefully what this podcast does for people, but it did for me anyway. So I'm gonna go out on a real limb and say it's kind of a mini Brighton, and we do put in that consummate away performance, but Bournemouth causes a scare with a goal. So I'll go 3-1. Hat trick from Beto, all off the shoulder. trademark header, but he can
leave it. What would the perfect hat trick look like with Beto? A shoulder, a
head, shoulder, knees, and toe,
an ankle scuff, and
yeah,
one in off his backside.
Yeah,
it'd have to all be awarded by a committee.
I'll take 2-1 then. If that's I'll sketch off that late Bournemouth equaliser you mentioned, Andy, and the VAR call on that one. Well, 2-1 win for me.
Nice, I like it. Well, let's work on the assumption that we will record before we go to Newcastle. I mean, even if we don't, I just think it's just too far to look ahead. We don't know what we're dealing with. Let's see what we're dealing with on after Saturday. See whether this break has brought any change. And as we say, fingers crossed, it will bring 3 points. But until then, Blues, thanks for listening, and as always, up the Toffees.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.